This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill.
Economies of scale. We talk about the idea all the time, making lots of something to bring the cost down. It works with electricity. Think about mega power plants supplying most of what we use from far, far away somewhere. Thing is, the delivery system, the plumbing of electricity, the grid is becoming less reliable in this country. So some places are going the other way and creating energy very, very locally. Yesterday, Scott Tong of our sustainability desk had a story of the power outage crisis in Connecticut. Today, part two, an attempted solution.
If you live in Connecticut and have been walloped by record storms and blackouts lately, you start talking like this.
There was people out longer than 5 days without power.
And we were one of the last towns to get power back.
We had cell towers go down. They are actually powered by electricity.
There are electric wheelchairs. All of a sudden, people couldn't get around because they couldn't power their wheelchairs.
Eventually, the public will become so frustrated with the storm response of the traditional grid that they will demand the changes.
It's like everything else. Until there's a catastrophic event, then it's good enough.
Let's unpack. In 2011 and 2012, three giant storms blacked out power for up to 12 days each. High winds and floods took down wires, poles, and pieces of the grid that sends electricity from central power plants far away. State lawmaker Lonnie Reed.
You realize how centralized we are, and more centralization means more vulnerability.
It's really two vulnerabilities, a less reliable grid and our addiction to it. One of Reed's constituents called up during one of the storms demanding the National Guard.
And I said, well, is your house still standing? Oh, yes. Do you have water? Yes. And he said, my children can't go to school, and there is no TV, and they depend on video games, and he was having a Wii meltdown.
After the storms, Connecticut passed a law that's the first of its kind in the country. It invests in what are called microgrids. Yale Law Professor Dan Esty was Energy and Environment Commissioner at the time.
And it became clear that there was an opportunity, while not protecting against the grid going out, of having some number of microgrids that would stay up.
A microgrid is what it sounds like, a hyper-local source of energy. It could be a natural gas plant, a solar panel, fuel cell that makes electricity independent of the main grid. Think community garden in case the ship food can't make it in. It's a form of decentralized, or what some call distributed generation. Danbury Hospital in western Connecticut put in its own system about 4 years ago. An on-site gas plant kept the lights on during Superstorm Sandy. Morris Gross is facilities VP.
We decided to go island mode. And island mode basically meant that we split away from the power company during the worst of that storm.
Of course, much of the region went dark then, including New York University's medical center in Manhattan.
So they had to evacuate their patients. These patients had to be carried downstairs and, you know, elevators don't work. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, you have to worry about people on respirators.
Danbury Hospital's microgrid makes local power and local heat. It captures the generator's waste heat, which normally goes up the smokestack, and turns it into steam.
We take the steam, we heat buildings with it. We take the steam, we create hot water with it. We take the steam, we sterilize instruments with it. And then we take the steam and we convert it to air conditioning through a heat absorption chiller.
The hospital saved so much money on heating and AC, it paid for its $17 million microgrid in 4 years. It's the same kind of story in our east, at Wesleyan University's microgrid.
We save about $5,000 per day operating these machines on campus.
University plant director Alan Rubaha says the school, like a hospital, cannot afford to go dark. The science lab, for instance, has strict temperature controls.
Certainly at stake there is science. In other words, the business of the university and of the students. We've got minus 80 freezers and minus 20 freezers with things in them that are irreplaceable.
Keeping a college building or a hospital lit is one of several reasons to make power locally. It can save money in places where grid power is expensive. It can generate clean energy in the form of rooftop solar panels. It can hedge against terrorist attacks on the physical grid, which is why the military is building microgrids. Again, Yale Law's Dan Esty.
There are so many reasons to have a structure of distributed generation that is going to happen with or without a strategy from government, with or without the support of the old utilities.
Utilities that are noticing. One industry paper calls distributed energy a disruptive threat. But not everyone is so sure. In Connecticut, say there are legal hurdles. Say you live there and you want to build your very own microgrid. Does the law define what it is? Nope. Can you build one that crosses over or under a city street? Not sure. Are you subject to a bazillion laws that apply to utilities? Could be.
Lawyers are needed at every stage.
Sarah Bronin is with the University of Connecticut School of Law.
If a project has to comply with public utility rules, even more lawyers are needed, which is great for lawyers, but not great for microgrid development.
And then there's the barrier of energy pricing. For most of us, one unit of electricity costs the same, whether it's green or fossil, whether we're energy hogs or not, whether it's imported or made locally. Yale Law's Dan Esty wants to overhaul this pricing so consumers pay more for energy that's worth more.
You start to pay for redundancy, you pay for resiliency, you pay for any number of these attributes that have been kind of on the sidelines of the 20th century electricity marketplace.
An old electricity marketplace built yesterday for yesterday. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We'd love to hear about the infrastructure problems in your neighborhood. And we've got our entire infrastructure series, The Weak Link. It's all on our website at marketplace.org.